It used to be that when a company experienced a massive data breach, it was just loud.
Right.
Like it was dramatic.
Oh, absolutely. We're talking the classic stolen laptop left in a coffee shop scenario.
Right, exactly. Or, a coordinated hacker syndicate breaking through a firewall in the dead of night. It felt like a movie.
Yeah, it was an event you could actually see, trace, and more importantly, react to immediately.
But today, I mean, the absolute biggest risk to a company's most sensitive information isn't a loud smash and grab at all. It is completely silent.
Completely under the radar.
And the threat isn't coming from some malicious outsider in a dark hoodie. It's actually coming from your best employee simply trying to do their job a little faster.
Yeah, we are looking at what's basically the curse of the high
The
performer.
curse of the high performer. I like that.
It's true, though. The people trying to innovate, the ones trying to beat a tight Friday deadline, they are the exact ones accidentally opening the doors to these massive vulnerabilities.
Because they're just trying to be efficient.
Right. And because it's so quiet, leadership often has zero idea it's even happening until the damage is already done.
Welcome to today's deep dive. Today, we are exploring a really vital roadmap for anyone navigating the modern business landscape. We're unpacking the AI governance framework for mid-market businesses in 2026.
It's a critical topic right now.
It really is. Our mission for you today is to figure out how companies can encourage useful, innovative AI adoption without completely losing control over their data and their systems.
Because, let's face it, AI is already in your workplace.
Whether you like it or not.
Exactly. Whether it is officially sanctioned or completely hidden, the goal isn't to pretend we can put the genie back in the bottle.
Right, that ship has sailed.
The goal is building a sustainable, resilient structure around it.
Okay, let's unpack this because we really have to talk about a concept from our sources today that sounds like the title of a spy thriller, but it is actually happening in every mid-market office right now. Shadow AI.
Shadow AI, it's such a great term for a really terrifying problem.
It is. And here is how AI adoption actually starts in the real world. It is rarely a massive top-down, company-wide rollout on day one, right?
Oh, almost never. It starts incredibly quietly.
Yeah, like a marketing team decides to test out some web-based writing assistant to draft a press release.
Right. Or over in finance, an analyst uploads this massive confidential PDF of vendor contracts to a free AI tool just to get a quick summary before a meeting.
Exactly. Or, down the hall, a software developer pastes a really tricky block of proprietary code into a public chatbot to debug it before the weekend.
And looking at any one of those actions in isolation, they feel entirely harmless.
Yeah, it just feels like an employee being resourceful.
Right, they're just trying to be more efficient and save the company time. Nobody is trying to do anything wrong.
But when you zoom out, those isolated actions create this invisible, unapproved environment. Suddenly, you have highly sensitive data. I mean, customer information, source code, financial records, flowing completely under the radar.
Straight into public consumer-grade AI models.
Right. And you, as a business, have zero visibility into where that data is going or who actually owns it once it leaves your network.
What's fascinating here is that the immediate knee-jerk reaction from leadership is to just ban everything, shut it all down.
Right. Just block the websites, put up a firewall.
Exactly. But the framework we are looking at makes a very clear argument against that. Governance is not about blocking innovation.
So it's not just a giant stop sign.
No, not at all. It is the bridge between wild, unchecked experimentation and sustainable, scalable adoption.
Because banning it doesn't actually stop it, right?
Spot on. Banning AI simply forces your employees to find cleverer ways to hide their usage. It fundamentally increases your risk. Governance just defines the rules of the road so people can drive fast, but safely.
Which is exactly why you need to care about this deep dive today. Whether you're a mid-level manager noticing these new AI tools popping up on your team's screens, or an employee who genuinely wants to use AI to get work done without accidentally violating company policy.
Everyone is trying to figure this out right now.
Right. We are going to map out exactly how businesses are drawing these lines in 2026.
Because establishing those lines is really the only way a mid-market company can scale without tripping over its own feet.
So, to solve this problem of shadow AI, a blanket ban is just off the table. The framework suggests we have to start by establishing strict boundaries around the single most critical asset in any organization, the data itself.
Yeah, you simply cannot treat all information equally.
It's not all the same. The foundation of a 2026 AI policy has to explicitly define what data can and cannot be entered into these tools.
I mean, an employee's draft of an internal team-building email is fundamentally different from a database of healthcare records, right?
Or customer credit card numbers, or your proprietary source code.
Exactly. Each of those data types requires entirely different controls. A policy that just says, be careful with data is useless.
Because it's too vague.
Right. It basically guarantees that employees will make inconsistent, risky decisions when they are staring down a tight deadline.
And it isn't just about the data either, is it? It's about the tools themselves. The sources make this crucial distinction that I think a lot of people just completely miss.
Oh, the difference between public and enterprise tools. Yes.
Right. There is a massive operational difference between a public, consumer-facing AI tool that you sign up for with your personal email address versus a contracted enterprise AI platform.
It is night and day. When an employee uses a public consumer AI, the terms of service, which nobody reads, by the way.
Never.
They often allow the AI company to use whatever data you input to train their future models.
Wow. So you are essentially giving away your company's secrets to train a machine that your competitors can then just log in and use.
Exactly. But a contracted enterprise AI platform comes with administrative controls, detailed access logging, and strict data protection commitments.
So the vendor legally agrees that your data remains yours.
Right. They guarantee it is not used to train their foundational models.
The sources highlight a really specific example of this, actually. For organizations that are already operating inside the Microsoft 365 ecosystem, engaging in Microsoft Copilot consulting can be incredibly useful.
I should probably clarify what that consulting actually entails, because it sounds like you're just buying more software.
Right. It sounds like an upsell.
Exactly. But it isn't. Copilot consulting means bringing in experts to configure the digital walls you already have in place.
Oh, interesting. So you aren't starting from scratch.
No. Instead of trying to duct tape some risky third-party tool onto your systems, you are working within a secure enterprise environment. The administrative controls and data protection commitments can be configured natively.
Let me try a metaphor here to see if I can make sense of this data boundary concept.
Go for it.
Okay, so treating all AI tools equally is like managing the air quality in an office building. Using a properly configured enterprise AI platform is like having a central HVAC system.
Okay, I'm following.
You pump clean air through approved vents, it is filtered, and everyone breathes fine. But shadow AI is like an employee deciding they are too hot, so they just punch a hole directly in the exterior drywall to let a breeze in.
That is a brilliant way to look at it.
Right. I mean, it might cool them down for a minute, but now the whole building's infrastructure is compromised. Bugs are getting in, and the heating bill is going to skyrocket.
That captures the structural risk perfectly, but, you know, even the approved HVAC system needs to be configured properly.
Sure.
The framework insists on an approved tools list, and this is not just a list of brand names pinned to a bulletin board.
What does it actually look like?
It explicitly defines which tools are allowed, which specific departments are authorized to use them, and exactly what data types are permitted in each tool.
So it's very granular.
Highly granular. Access must be tied strictly to business needs. Meaning, if an employee changes roles or leaves the company, their access to those AI systems is revoked immediately.
Wait, keeping track of who is authorized to use which vent in our HVAC system sounds like a massive bureaucracy.
It can definitely feel that way at first.
I mean, if a mid-market company has to track every single prompt every employee makes to ensure they're on the approved list, they are going to drown in paperwork.
The framework provides a very clear way out of that trap, thankfully. The answer lies in implementing what they call a lightweight but real risk review process.
Lightweight but real. How does that work?
Well, not every single AI idea needs a drawn-out six-week committee review. If an employee wants to use an approved AI tool to just help format an Excel macro, you let them.
Like, no harm there.
Exactly. It's only the meaningful use cases where the impact is significant that require risk screening.
But how does a review process stay lightweight while actually catching anything dangerous? Doesn't lightweight kind of just mean easy to bypass?
It boils down to a fast triage system based on a few really critical questions.
Yeah.
First, what specific data is involved? Second, who is going to use the output of the AI?
Okay, so tracking the data flow.
Right. Third, are customers directly affected by this? Fourth, if the AI makes an error, could it cause actual harm? Financial, reputational, or otherwise?
That's day one.
And finally, do we need audit logs or mandatory human approvals before this output goes live?
The sources point to the NIST AI Risk Management Framework as a guide here. For those who don't spend their days reading government IT standards, NIST stands for the National Institute of Standards and Technology.
Right, it's a major federal agency.
And their framework is basically a structured way to map, measure, and manage risks.
Yeah, but a mid-market business doesn't need the full heavyweight version of the NIST framework that a Fortune 500 bank would use.
It would just be overkill.
Total overkill. They can adapt those core concepts into that practical triage process we just discussed. They map out where the AI is being used, measure the potential impact if it hallucinates or leaks data.
Hallucinates being when the AI just confidently makes things up.
Exactly. And then they manage the risk by requiring human oversight on the most critical tasks.
Look, I'm going to put myself in the shoes of an employee on a tight deadline for a second. Filling out a risk review form, even a lightweight triage one, is just not going to happen.
You're going to bypass it.
Yeah. I'm just going to pull out my personal phone, use an unapproved app to get my work done, and not tell my boss. Doesn't this framework actually just encourage people to hide their AI use better?
You are touching on the fundamental flaw of poorly implemented governance.
So it's a common problem.
Very common. If rules are purely theoretical and highly restrictive, humans will absolutely find a workaround every time. The antidote to hiding is not more rules.
Then what is it?
The antidote is practical training and operational integration.
Which basically means replacing the fear of getting caught with actual empowerment.
Exactly. The framework stresses that employees need concrete examples, not just 50-page policy documents full of legal jargon.
Nobody reads those.
Never. Training must walk them through real scenarios, like here is how you handle sensitive customer data in this approved tool. And equally important, here is exactly when you need to stop and ask for help.
The sources emphasize that this training must be brutally honest about the limitations of AI, too.
Yes, very much so.
It needs to highlight that AI output can be incomplete, biased, or entirely inappropriate for direct use. You cannot just copy-paste a generative AI response and send it to a client without reading it.
That human-in-the-loop requirement is absolutely critical. And beyond just training, governance has to be baked into your daily operations. It cannot be a separate chore.
It should just be part of how the company breathes, right?
Perfectly said.
Yeah.
It needs to be in the onboarding process for new hires. It needs to be in procurement. So when someone tries to buy software with a corporate card, there is an automatic check for AI features.
Oh, that's smart. Catch it at the purchasing level.
Exactly. It needs to be in your software development life cycles, marketing approvals, and even customer support workflows.
The sources recommend a specific operational model for this, a small cross-functional AI governance group. And we aren't talking about a massive new department with its own floor in the building.
No, keep it lean.
Right. We are talking about just a few representatives from leadership, IT, security, legal, and maybe some key department heads.
They are the ones who maintain that approved use case register. They are the clearinghouse for those higher risk proposals.
Crucially, this group ties AI governance directly to existing cybersecurity efforts. You really cannot separate the two.
You absolutely can't. Identity management, access controls, data loss prevention, often called DLP, these are standard cybersecurity practices.
Can you explain DLP for us quickly?
Sure. DLP software actively monitors data leaving your network to ensure sensitive information like social security numbers or credit cards isn't being sent out.
Okay, makes sense.
Those are the exact same tools you use to enforce AI safety. If your AI strategy isn't talking to your cybersecurity services, you're creating massive unmanaged vulnerabilities.
So what does this all mean? Let me synthesize this really quick. Governance isn't about handing someone a rule book and hoping for the best.
Not at all.
It is about building guardrails into the systems they already use every day.
Yeah.
Like, if they try to paste a client list into a public AI tool, the DLP software simply blocks the paste action.
And pops up a window saying, hey, this looks like customer data. Please use our internal enterprise AI for this.
That's brilliant. You are stopping the dangerous behavior at the exact point of friction, rather than just punishing them after the fact.
You are building their competence at the exact moment they need it, and that naturally builds their confidence to use the tool safely.
But even with the best training in the world, the reality of business is that people get desperate when the stakes are high.
Always. Stress changes behavior.
And if we look at hyper-competitive markets, we see exactly why these shadow AI systems buckle under pressure. The sources specifically highlight the real-world impact on businesses in Orange County as a prime example.
The Orange County context is highly illustrative for the mid-market. We are talking about an area with high competitive density.
Right. Lots of fast-moving companies.
It isn't a landscape of massive Fortune 100 conglomerates that can afford to hide their inefficiencies, but it also isn't a sleepy town of mom-and-pop shops.
So it's that sweet spot.
Yeah. Companies there are handling very sensitive client data, they're competing for high-value contracts, and fighting for top talent.
And clients, patients, and partners in that kind of market, they expect secure, lightning-fast, highly professional digital experiences.
They have zero patience for delays.
Exactly. If your competitor is using AI safely to analyze data and respond to a proposal in 2 hours, and your team is doing it manually and taking 2 days, you lose the contract.
The danger is that a weak AI setup or a shadow AI environment will usually stay hidden on normal, quiet days.
When there's no pressure.
Right. It acts like a hairline fracture in a bone. You don't really notice it when you are just walking normally, but it explodes during high-stress events.
Oh, like a system outage or a sudden compliance audit.
Or a massive marketing campaign push, or worst of all, a security incident. That is when the undocumented, messy use of AI brings operations to a total grinding halt.
Because nobody actually knows how the work was being done.
Exactly. The employee who set up the shadow tool is out sick, and suddenly the whole department is frozen.
The sources give us specific warning signs to watch for here. And this is vital because leaders aren't going to be looking over every single employee's shoulder.
You can't micromanage at that scale.
You have to look for operational friction. Watch for teams relying on manual workarounds to move data between systems. Look for undocumented decisions.
Yes, like where an AI tool generated a specific financial projection, but nobody in the room can actually explain what data fed into it.
That sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah.
And IT departments can actually spot this friction objectively, right?
Oh, absolutely. They shouldn't be looking for employees typing the word AI into their browser history. They should be monitoring network logs for massive, unexplained spikes in outbound data heading to known consumer AI web addresses.
Or looking for tools that only one single person in the entire company understands how to operate.
Those warning signs are the canary in the coal mine. They prove that your current operational process depends entirely too much on luck and individual memory rather than actual documented structure.
Here's where it gets really interesting. If a leadership team actually spots these warning signs, they see the outbound data spikes, they see the output points of failure, how do they fix it without operations just grinding to a halt?
It's a delicate operation.
Because sending out a company-wide memo threatening to fire anyone using ChatGPT isn't going to solve the root problem.
Not at all. The delicate balancing act of fixing these friction points relies on deep internal alignment, smart budgeting, and intense partner accountability.
Okay, let's break down that internal alignment first.
Sure. So you cannot walk into a boardroom and say, "We need to fix our LLM API integration data pipeline."
Because their eyes will just glaze over immediately.
Instantly, you'll lose them.
Wait, for those of us who don't live in the IT department, what exactly is an LLM API data pipeline?
Good question. LLM stands for Large Language Model. That is basically the AI's brain. The API is the bridge, or think of it like the plumbing.
Okay, brain and plumbing.
Right. So an LLM API data pipeline is simply the digital plumbing taking your company's private database and piping it straight into the AI's brain so it can analyze your information.
And if that plumbing leaks.
Your proprietary data is gone. It's out there.
Wow. Which means you have to translate that highly technical plumbing issue into business language. You
Yeah.
frame it around revenue risk, you frame it around compliance, delivery speed, and customer experience.
Yes, that speaks their language.
If the sales team understands that a leaky AI pipeline could expose their VIP client list to a competitor and cost them their commissions, they will align with the governance project very quickly.
Money talks. And part of that alignment is defining actual project ownership. Who approves the budget to fix the plumbing? Who tests the outcomes? Who is responsible for maintaining the framework 6 months from now?
Because without a specific owner, the initiative will simply drift away as soon as the initial panic subsides.
It happens all the time.
That leads directly into budgeting, which I think is fascinating. It is so easy for companies to panic spend when they realize they have a shadow AI problem.
Just throw money at it.
Right. They see a data leak, they freak out, and they buy a massive, expensive software suite that they don't even have the staff to implement. How does a company make evidence-based budget decisions?
The framework categorizes the budget into two very distinct buckets: urgent risk reduction and strategic enhancement.
Okay, let's look at the first one. Urgent risk reduction.
That is all about protecting the systems you have today. You are stopping data leaks, ensuring compliance, and protecting your current revenue streams.
Putting out the fires.
Exactly. Strategic enhancement is the forward-looking aspect. Building new automations, setting up advanced reporting, basically gaining a competitive edge. The golden rule is you must fund the protection before you fund the enhancement.
Fix the leaky pipes before you build a new swimming pool.
Spot on.
And you prioritize that funding using the data you already have. You look at those system logs, the analytics, and the security alerts.
Let the data tell the story.
If the logs show 50 employees actively trying to paste source code into a public AI tool every single week, securing a safe coding environment is your urgent priority. You fix what the data tells you is broken, not what the loudest manager in the room is complaining about.
And when you are bringing in outside vendors to help fix these issues, the sources are absolutely adamant about accountability. Hiring a consultant and just hoping for the best is a recipe for a wasted budget.
So what should they do instead?
You must document expected response times, strictly define their access boundaries to your sensitive data, and set a rigid reporting cadence.
A good partner doesn't just do the technical work in the dark, right?
Right. They provide an SLA, a service level agreement, that formally guarantees performance. And it makes their progress visible without forcing leadership to try and decipher raw technical data.
That visibility relies on practical documentation, though. And we aren't talking about writing massive encyclopedias that just gather dust on a shared corporate drive.
Nobody reads those either.
We are talking about short operating notes and simple lists of owners. The goal is to ensure that when a key team member leaves, the next person isn't forced to reverse engineer the entire AI system from scratch.
To measure this progress, the framework suggests using a very simple scorecard in the first phase. Just pick 3 to 5 metrics that directly match your business goals.
Yep, it's simple.
Yes. Perhaps it is faster paid response times on the customer portal, or fewer data loss prevention security alerts, or even higher conversion rates on your AI-assisted marketing campaigns.
Measure those core metrics and only expand the scorecard when you genuinely need more granular detail.
Exactly. Don't overcomplicate it on day one.
So we have mapped out the boundaries, the training, the warning signs, and the budget. The immediate next steps for leadership involve turning this entire AI governance framework into a short, concise action plan.
You need one single owner, one clear timeline, and one scheduled review meeting.
And the very first step is documenting your current baseline state, right? So you actually know what you are measuring against.
Yes. The critical mechanism here is the 30-day post-implementation review. 30 days is really the magic number for a mid-market company.
Why 30 days specifically?
It is long enough to gather meaningful data on how employees are interacting with the new governance goals, but short enough that if the process is causing too much friction, shadow AI habits haven't become permanently entrenched.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. Catch the bad habits before they set in.
Exactly.
After that month, you compare the outcomes against the original baseline using hard data, not subjective impressions. Mm-hmm. Did the security alerts go down? Did response times actually improve?
You have to look at the numbers.
Right. You create a short written record of the decisions made, the systems that were changed, and the risks that were formally accepted. If the results are strong, you plan the next phase of scaling. If they aren't, you adjust the approach before rolling it out any further.
It completely replaces panic with a repeatable management habit.
Ultimately, what we have learned from these sources is that mid-market businesses do not need a massive bureaucracy to succeed with AI.
Yeah, really don't.
They just need clear rules, strictly defined data boundaries built directly into their daily tools, and simple, consistent reporting to prevent shadow AI from taking root. You establish the secure pathways so your high performers can move fast without breaking the company.
This raises an important question, though. Something for you to consider as we look toward the reality of 2026.
Oh, I like where this is going.
Well, we have established that effective AI governance requires highly documented data boundaries. Active user tracking via tools like DLP, detailed audit logs of every single employee prompt, and continuous measurement to prevent this shadow AI.
Right, that's the whole framework.
But given that deep level of systemic oversight, could these tightly controlled, highly monitored enterprise AI environments inadvertently become the ultimate workplace surveillance tools?
Oh, wow.
By building the necessary infrastructure to watch the data so closely, are companies fundamentally altering the dynamic of trust and privacy between employers and employees?
It's a heavy thought to leave on. You start out just trying to stop a quiet crisis of silent data leaks. And to do it, you have to build an environment that listens to absolutely everything. The protective net catches the falling data, but it also records every single move the trapeze artist makes.
Exactly.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We'll see you next time.